Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Is Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
The program. Glad you are with us. We are joined tonight by Karen Kingston. Yes, I know she was on last night, but we've got to do an update. There's so much happening so fast. We have to bring you an update from Karen Kingston. I think we also had Ivan Raiklin on last night, but again, so much is happening so fast. Ivan joins us for another update. Then Susan Swift out of California, the Right to Life League, Susan Swift, and then Leo Holman. We have a lot to cover tonight. Let's get right to it. Joining me now is Karen Kingston. Karen, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me back, Brannon. It's so important that, you know, I texted you because as I was doing my research through the HHS declarations, the emergency use authorizations and medical countermeasures, I read through the documents, and every parent needs to listen to this interview. What people are unaware of is on August 24th of 2020, Secretary Azar made a declaration that all vaccines, with an emphasis on all childhood vaccines, are now military countermeasures to the biological threat known as COVID-19. So that means that all vaccines, and he specifically mentioned the childhood vaccines, are no longer need to be adherent to any food and drug safety precautions or laws. It also means the manufacturers have zero liability, as do the administrators, which are the pediatricians, nurses, and doctors that are administering the vaccines. And what we're going to show your audience tonight is that the incidence of serious adverse events and deaths from childhood vaccination went up fourfold between 2020 and 2021. During that same time period, vaccination rates for children decreased. So this is alarming. You know, if you want your child to stay safe over the holiday season, do not allow them to get their wellness vaccinations.
I want to back up real quick. The secretary, what was his name?
Azar, Alexander Azar.
Azar coded the vaccines as a response to what?
Well, let's go through the slides.
Okay.
He said all childhood vaccines are now emergency countermeasures to the biological threat that is COVID-19.
Okay, here we go. Here are the slides.
So what, again, look to the right-hand side. This is for all childhood vaccines. Between 2020 and 2021, it went up fourfold. So what was reported in VAERS was about 10,000 serious adverse events from childhood vaccinations. The vaccination adverse events that are reported in VAERS are underreported by 100-fold. This has been verified over and over again, and I can write an entire Substack on that analysis. So that means there was nearly 1 million children who had a serious injury or died from a routine childhood vaccine in 2021. These numbers are astonishing, and I did speak to another broadcaster earlier today, and she informed me that pediatricians and pediatric nurses were reporting an increase of children coming in with serious injuries from vaccinations and some deaths, not from the COVID-19 vaccines, but from their childhood vaccines. So how did this happen? Let's keep going. This is the declaration that happened on August 24th of 2020. If you go onto the next slide, I'm going to show you what Secretary Azar said. He said that he recommends as a medical or basically an emergency countermeasure, administration of a covered countermeasure is not only COVID-19, those for COVID-19 caused by SARS-CoV-2. He says it is also for any other disease, health condition, or threat that may have caused COVID-19, that may have been caused by COVID-19. Because childhood vaccinations decreased in 2020 because of the lockdowns, he said that is a threat to national security. Therefore, now childhood vaccines are military medical countermeasures. This is the insanity that we are being governed under. Go on to the next slide. So what are the vaccines? He said they are all of the ACIP vaccines, the Advisory Committee Immunization Practice vaccines. So it's not just the childhood vaccines. You know, the flu vaccine is on there. Shingles vaccine is on there. All vaccines now are emergency medical countermeasures. They have been declared that since August of 2020, which is why it will take a few months for the manufacturers to change the formulations. You saw the skyrocketing in the serious adverse events. So what does, so we go on the next slide. What did Secretary Azar say specifically? He says, because there is a decrease in childhood vaccinations, all vaccinations are now covered countermeasures. Again, they all have emergency use countermeasure coverage. And what happened with that? That means good manufacturing practices are no longer in place. The safety and efficacy standards are no longer in place. And there's no liability to manufacturers whatsoever. So what happens? Boom. Death and injury skyrockets. This is not a coincidence. So if we keep going, I want people to understand what a medical countermeasure is. This is directly from the 2017 guidance from the FDA that put out regarding what a medical countermeasure means. I've repeated it again. Again, good manufacturing processes are not followed. That means, like, okay, someone's saying, well, Karen's saying they could have put maybe mRNA technology into these injections. Then they would have to change the labeling. No, they do not. Because there is no inspection to make sure that the formulation in the vials matches up with the labeling. That does not need to be checked under emergency countermeasure declaration.
I'm noticing that this was put in by Barack Obama in 2016.
Barack Obama changed the PAHPRA and PrEP Act in 2016 to allow for the waiver of good manufacturing practices, to allow for maybe effective standards, and also to waive informed consent. So I want to show that next. So not only are these being done by the manufacturers, Barack Obama made it legal. Specifically, this is straight from the act.
And wait a minute.
Go on the next slide.
Wait a minute. That date, December 13th, 2016.
Yeah.
That means he would have been going out the door, right?
Yeah, he passed this while I was leaving, while I was going out the door.
So Trump would have been president-elect then?
Yeah, yep.
So this makes me wonder if this wasn't already in play, of what happened in 2020 wasn't already in play, and they were laying the groundwork with paperwork in 2016 when Trump's president-elect.
Oh, they absolutely did. This was supposed to be, Hillary was supposed to, be carrying the ball on this one, for sure. Yeah. No, if you see what Barack Obama did between 2012 and 2016, he made it legal for the U.S. government to murder the American people. He also made it legal for public servants and healthcare officials to murder American people as long as they were following orders from HHS. Does that sound familiar?
Sounds like Nazi Germany.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Because at the Nuremberg trial, what they did was they tried to say, we didn't break any laws. We were just doing what we were told. We didn't break any laws. And the American prosecutors at the Nuremberg trial said to the Nazi leaders, I'm sorry, there is a law higher than man. You broke the moral law.
Yeah, I want to make sure I get through two more slides because I want parents to know why this is happening. And it's the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany, in that people are following orders from the government.
Okay.
And I want them to understand. Yeah, I want them to see the law. It says right there that informed consent does not need to be given for a medical emergency countermeasure if the government believes it's contrary to the best interests of human beings. That has nothing to do with safety. It just means the government thinks you shouldn't know that you're being experimented on or that your child's being experimented on with a biological weapon is what these things are. But go on to the next slide. Why is so then, you know, you would say, well, Karen, aren't the pediatricians noticing an increase in adverse events, you know, or even death of these children? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And Secretary Azar made sure in that declaration to tell the pediatricians and pharmacists and primary care doctors, look, as long as you're following orders, you are considered a covered person, a program planner. You cannot be convicted of willful misconduct. What is willful misconduct? It is that you know what you're doing is wrong, that you have no legal or factual justification, and that you know the harm outweighs the good. It is willful misconduct can be murder, okay? But what does it say? Under program planner or qualified person, which is your pediatrician, your child's pediatrician, or primary care physician, as long as they're acting in accordance with applicable directions and guidance from HHS to use the countermeasures, which are now childhood vaccines, they cannot be charged with murder. This is a license to kill. And by the way, every healthcare provider is very generously financially incentivized to not just give COVID-19 vaccines, but all these vaccines. They are aware that these are medical countermeasures. They are aware that they no longer adhere to the FDA guidelines for safety and efficacy. They are aware that they are harming children, but they have a get out of jail free card in case they accidentally or intentionally harm or murder them. This is the law. And I know experts have told you, oh, well, they can't get away with willful misconduct. Yes, they can. Obama made that happen. Under the law. Now, this law is unconstitutional. It goes against human rights. It goes against the Ten Commandments. And it goes against everything that a Christian and a person who believes in God stands for. But this is what the law is that is now governing our nation and your child's pediatrician. And you need to know this.
So would this be an accurate headline? Federal government legalized Americans killing Americans with bioweapons posing as vaccines. Is that an accurate headline?
Yes, but I want parents to know that the childhood vaccines are not safe right now. That's what I want them to know, that they can contain mRNA technology. mRNA technology was developed by DARPA as a bioweapon. That can be in these childhood vaccines right now. So that you don't want to inject your child. And I'm being more passionate than I usually am, because I watched Governor DeSantis's panel and his experts continually stated, we're only talking about COVID-19 vaccines. We're not talking about childhood vaccines or the flu vaccines. They're safe. They are not safe. Secretary Azar gave them the license to kill on August 24th of 2020. There is no vaccine that is safe. If you do not harm your child. This is a parent's worst nightmare, where they think they're doing something to protect their child, and inadvertently they are harming them, or they may actually lose them forever because the child could be permanently injured or murdered from these bioweapons.
Are you saying that most of these childhood vaccines have mRNA in them now?
I'm saying that they could have them in there. And what I'm also telling you is I am an expert in this industry. Okay, I've worked on products that have been recalled. And I can tell you more than likely they're targeting lower educated communities and minority communities where there's lesser resources. I know this from my personal experience.
A minute. But don't we know that from Bill Gates and his team going over to countries in Africa where they were doing polio shots that were making people sterile and paralyzed and stuff and basically eugenics? Didn't we already know this?
Here in the United States, you know, the childhood vaccinations that could have been tampered with, or the ones that have been tampered with, are not likely being used in affluent communities. They're going to be used in communities where people's resources are stretched.
So it's a eugenics program. So it is a eugenics program on a class of people they want to get rid of, just like Margaret Sanger, eugenicist who worked with a Nazi doctor who talked about minorities as weeds. So are you telling me this is a planned eugenics program being thwarted onto or forced onto communities they deem to be substandard?
This is a planned attack on children to actually, you know, to decrease the, you know, to murder children, to harm, disable, and injure children. That's what it is. I'm just telling you, I'm not, from working in the industry, the pharma industry, you know, when products should have been recalled much sooner than they were, there was efforts in communities that had limited resources,
right?
Because they, those communities, the parents didn't have the time to do the research and have the understanding of what, you know, that there was a correlation between the loss of life and a pharmaceutical product. And even if they did, they didn't have the time and resources to pursue legal, you know, a course.
Right.
So this is not, this is, you know, it comes down to human behavior. And what it comes down to is people are willing to follow orders and accept financial compensation in exchange for injuring and potentially murdering their fellow American citizens. And before everyone says that's insane, what do you think happened in World War II? I mean, that's exactly what happened. I mean, most of those who were sent off to concentration camps were sent off by local police officers. They were not sent off by the SS. Okay, they were not. I mean, the Nazi military. It was done by their local community leaders because they were following orders and being compensated. And those were the laws at the time. This is what America is in right now. And it's important that parents know. You know, I know many of your viewers know the COVID-19 injections are not safe. I've openly said that they are bioweapons, and you can find that information on my Substack. But what they do not know is that Secretary Azar on August 24th, 2020 said, look, all childhood vaccinations and all routine vaccinations are now medical military countermeasures, meaning we don't know what's in them. That's what that means. Meaning that, you know, they could potentially harm you. Understand that a emergency countermeasure under the law can actually cause a public health emergency and a threat to national security. So they can be knowingly injuring our children and young and healthy adults with routine vaccinations now.
Wow. What are you making of these reports? Before we go back to your PowerPoint, what are you making of these reports of all of a sudden I see in the media they're freaking out of all these kids that are having all these showing up at the doctor in the hospitals with crossed eyes and all kinds of other things?
Well, the childhood vaccinations, if we can go through the presentation, some of them now likely, or some of them absolutely do contain the lipid nanoparticle technology. The lipid nanoparticle technology is designed to attack the neurological system. So that would cause things like, being cross-eyed, amblyopia. That would cause, you know, that, so that is, you know, and obviously it does target, there's a very strong concentration of nerve cells, you know, in your eyes. It's called the retina, you know. So these are meant to target those cells. I actually have the research that shows that M-neogreen, which is used in the Pfizer vaccine, by the way, was used in retinal experimentation to rebuild nerve cells, but it can also damage them.
Right.
And M-neogreen, yeah. So this is, I have a lot of information, but I wanted to get through and let parents know.
Okay, here's the next slide.
This is what's important, that Secretary Azar had said, again, that this is, the countermeasure is childhood vaccination. So let's just keep going. So this is what we went over. And then this is what's important. Again, and I went over this already, saying that they say you don't have informed consent. And then this is under the PrEP Act, the modifications made by Obama. Again, if the pediatrician is noticing that children are being injured from childhood vaccinations, keep in mind they get paid tens of thousands of dollars. They don't have to report it. So what is likely in some of these childhood vaccinations? It's the lipid nanoparticle technology. I know people have said that, hey, anyone who says there's technology in the vaccines, you know, they're crazy or they're controlled opposition. Pfizer tells you on their own website it contains lipid nanoparticles and that these are technologies. So let's keep going through that. So this is not a vaccine by definition either. It's literally a biosynthetic technology. And what does it do? You do not want to do this to your child. The lipid nanoparticle mRNA technology can turn billions of cells into factories. Pfizer says that they're medicine factories, but then they put there a protein. Right now, it can produce a spike protein. The spike protein is pathogenic. That means it causes disease, inflammation, and potentially death. You do not want your child's cells turned into disease-causing spike protein factories that never turn off. This is from Pfizer's website. They even have a cartoon for it. This is not a vaccine. A vaccine does not turn the cells of your body into bioweapon manufacturing machines. Pfizer also goes on to explain, these are not vaccines. They are gene editing technologies. That is what they are. They never were a vaccine. mRNA, lipid nanoparticles have always been used as gene editing technologies. And if you go to my Substack, I even walk you through Pfizer's labeling where they explain how they're used for transfection, which is a genetic mutation to a cell that's permanent. It is changes to the genome. When you bring your child in for a routine vaccination, you do not want them to be injected with gene editing technologies that's going to permanently change their genome. Again, this is straight from Pfizer's website. Here is one of the best reviews of the lipid nanoparticle technology that's used in the mRNA vaccines. It's over 50 pages long. I want people to see this for themselves. So they deliver nucleic acid. Pfizer says this on their website. They say it in the FDA filings. What is that? That is the messenger RNA, but it's actually ribonucleic acid interference. So it is gene editing. That is what it is. And if you go to the next slide, I want people to see how complicated this technology is. This is not a lipid. Okay, lipids are natural. They occur in nature. These contain what's called a cationic, what they're calling a cationic lipid. That means it hosts an electromagnetic field. There is a whole article on Pfizer's website about this as well. This is a very complex nanotechnology. And I don't want to go through all of it, but I think people should see this for themselves. You can see that this is not, I think people thought they got a synthetically recreated portion of a virus that was in some kind of cholesterol kind of delivery system. That's not it. It is a highly complex electromagnetic technology that is part biology and part technology. And as you go through my Substack, if you want to go through down the rabbit hole, you can read about this. This is another publication that talks about how, first of all, single helix viruses like SARS-CoV-2 can't even infect cells unless they're encapsulated into an advanced lipid nanoparticle technology. On the left-hand side, I pulled straight from Pfizer's labeling their ingredients, which is the pegylated lipid, the ionizable lipid, which means it hosts an electronic charge. So it's not a lipid. It's an electronic device. That's what it is. The fluids that they use in this ionic lipid are similar to fluids that they use in batteries.
Great grief.
Yes. Yes. No, and I have all the documentation.
Look at this next one. In some embodiments, the small molecule is a toxin. In some embodiments, the toxin is from a chemical weapon, an agent, or biowarfare. And this is right from the patent.
This is right from the NIH's, the U.S. government patent for what? For vaccine nanotechnology. What are in the mRNA vaccines? They contain vaccine nanotechnology. They contain nanocarriers. What, according to the NIH, will a nanotechnology vaccine do, such as the mRNA? It will deliver an agent of biowarfare. The term vaccine is the same as bioweapon beginning in 2017. And now this is the 2018 DARPA pitch, which again, the whole concept that a SARS-CoV-2 virus called the pandemic is a lie. DARPA says right here, EcoHealth Alliance says, we're not trying to create a gain-of-function virus. We're going to create a spike protein. I have a picture of that spike protein in the bottom right-hand corner. These were made in a lab. These spike proteins are not naturally produced. They contain synthetic toxins from venoms, and these are neurotoxins meant to attack your neurological system. Now go back to the last one. I want to finish on that. And on the left-hand side, I've got the nanoparticle. This is what DARPA, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, EcoHealth Alliance, and Ralph Baer created. They created that nanoparticle technology. That's what's in the vaccines, and that is what could be in the childhood vaccines. And what does that do? It delivers a bioweapon. And the NIH made a patent for this nanoparticle technology to deliver bioweapons in 2017. They perfected it in 2018. If you go on to the next slide. Okay, now, if you think that the lipid nanoparticle technology is only being used in mRNA vaccines, why do the top 25 vaccine and gene editing manufacturers around the globe, why are they all manufacturing lipid nanoparticle technology? This is going to be used in childhood vaccines. It's going to be used in all medicines. They're going to start putting it in food supplies. This should be an alarming chart or graph for everyone to see. I have never seen the top, you know, 25 Fortune 500 and global leaders, all multi-billion dollar industries, all invested in manufacturing the same lipid nanoparticle technology, which prior to COVID-19 was never authorized to be safe to be used in humans. And now 25 of the leading biotech manufacturers of the world are dedicated to just basically manufacturing LNPs to the point that it's going to become a multi-trillion dollar market over the next 10 years. This is alarming. Lipid nanoparticles, again, they were developed as bioweapons. They were never safe to be used in humans until COVID-19, and they still are not safe.
So the other headline would be nanolipid or mRNA nanolipid particles are a bioweapon and in many vaccines. That's a fair statement.
Yes, and in many vaccines, including childhood vaccines. This is, Brandon, I don't know if you understand how important this is. Nobody reported that HHS Secretary Azar on August 24th, 2020 said all childhood vaccines are now military medical countermeasures.
How many people are reporting what I have been reporting, you know, what you've been reporting on my show now for, I mean, how long have I been interviewing you now? How long has it been?
It's been a year and a half. Nobody is reporting. I'm going back now and pulling literally our interviews from September, October of last year to report on much of what you and I reported on. I broke the news about the artificial intelligence initiative that was being head up by Antony Blinken and how this was part of it. People are reporting on that. I did an episode on luciferase and triple helix DNA and on the HeLa cell line, which is the most aggressive cancer, and then that there's vascular endothelial growth factor in the injections, which accelerates tumor growth. And I said on your show in I think it was August of last year that we're going to see this huge increase in cancers, and they're going to be very aggressive cancers, and they're going to happen overnight. And I explained this is not simply an autoimmune response. People are being injected with an aggressive form of cancer called HeLa. And they also are being injected with vascular endothelial growth factor, which accelerates tumor growth.
And so
what's in some of the injections, which is why some people within a week of getting a shot have stage 4 cancer and massive tumors. It's inexplicable other than that they were seeded with the gene editing technology to make that happen, as well as stimulants to accelerate tumor growth. So we covered this a year and a half ago.
Oh, and I know people that got the shot within a few months had had very, very large tumors.
Yeah. So I watched it. There's an October interview. I put it out on Substack, but I'm going to actually write up an article on it because, I appreciate all the experts. A lot of people are opining as to why this is happening, but I've literally brought the receipts and the evidence to your viewers saying this isn't hypothetical.
And to be honest with you, not only have you brought all this incredible research, over the last 18 months, fix that for me, would you, Reagan? But this is one of the few programs that will interview you and let you talk about these things, correct?
Brandon, it's just you and one other major platform that will even have me on. They will not have me on their platform. I've talked to you. I know I am being subverted. The evidence I have doesn't make anyone look good. I think that's the problem. That these were intended consequences. These were designed bioweapons, and there is no anomaly here. There's no anomalies. Everything that's occurring, from these rare forms of aggressive cancers to the neurological disorders to the myocarditis, which I predicted on your show is going to be closer to a rate of 25%,
yep,
based on the patents, and that is what it is, right? So, the experts got it wrong, not because they aren't experts, but because they didn't look at the government documents and the manufactured documents that I presented, that I have. So
absolutely. And by the way, I'm reading tonight that in Norway, they got so many dead bodies that they're storing them in garages.
No way. I didn't know that.
That's out in the news tonight. Some of the funeral homes have so many dead bodies, they're storing them in their garages. Like their professional garages where they would park their, hearses and stuff. They're having to put the bodies in caskets and stack them around because they got so many people trying to move through.
Well, Brandon, I guess where I am is that We have the evidence. I've been publishing as fast as I can on Substack. But these are,
which is by the way, KarenKingston.substack. We keep putting it up there. KarenKingston.substack.
So the childhood vaccinations are not safe. They are military countermeasures. Military countermeasures, which in and of themselves can cause a public health emergency, which could lead to the death of millions of children. Do not get your children vaccinated. The evidence is there to actually go and seize all of these injections as bioweapons. We do not have any government leaders who are willing to do that. And I can again tell you from my experience in industry, it is sad but true. A lot of trusted experts and a lot of government leaders, they're afraid of big pharma. I wrote a number of clinical analysts, slide decks and whatnot. And one time I displaced an entire pharmaceutical sector. And while I was sitting at a global meeting in Istanbul, one of the doctors who was presenting my slides, didn't know, that I had written them, was interrupted because the doctor said to him, "You have to remember who's paying for us to be in this room. We can't walk away from the pharmaceutical industry and start promoting a laser therapy," right? Which right. actually was more effective and more beneficial. And, the doctor did say, "Well, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of my patients." But please understand that most of our government leaders, most medical experts are not willing to come out full against these injections.
Yep.
It's human nature. It's not my nature, but it's most people's human nature. And so it's up to us. It's up to concerned parents. It's up to people to take evidence that can, be used in a court of law, that can be used to seize these bioweapons. We actually are going to need to organize and go state by state and find out which government leaders are willing to stand up and protect Americans and protect humanity. Because the plan against our nation and our children is far worse than just these injections.
Absolutely.
We just showed that map. Okay, you have 26 global, multi-billion dollar, let's say legitimately, they would be Fortune 500 companies, all dedicated to manufacturing lipid nanoparticle technologies that were developed as bioweapons and are not safe to be used in humans. What do you think is going to happen if we don't stand up and speak up?
Absolutely.
And demand?
KarenKingston.substack.com. KarenKingston.substack.com. As always, Karen, we appreciate your service to America and the world. You do a great work. And if it's just me and one other guy that interviews you, then so be it, right?
Well, I hope not. This information needs to get out there. And originally, Brandon, I think you knew, I was on your show. I did like two other shows. And my intention was that the experts would pick up the evidence that I had and run with it. That simply is not that just did not happen. So now I'm going to be out there speaking as to as many audiences as I can and publishing this work until this is shut down. I mean, there is no rest for the wicked. And I think people can see I'm exhausted. I am sick. I am just working 24/7 to try to get this information out there because I my heart aches for anyone that's lost anyone to these injections. And my heart aches for parents, for any parent whose child's been injured by a vaccine and who were lied to and deceived, being told that they were getting a routine wellness vaccine when in fact their child could have been injected with a military grade nanoparticle, in their bodies.
Wow.
This is horrifying and this needs to stop and it needs to stop now. So I hope people share the interview. I hope they share my Substack. Could mRNA be in childhood vaccines? Please read Intended Consequences. That's also a free Substack. And just share this information, please.
Absolutely. KarenKingston.substack.com. Thank you as always, Karen.
Thank you, Brandon. God bless.
You too. Merry Christmas. Joining me now is Ivan Raiklin. He joins us again. Last night he was with us, Karen, but both of them brought important updates tonight to me that we needed to get on. Ivan, and I also, of course, reached out to Ivan because I saw an article over on his website. Here it is, Uniparty's plan to steal the 2024 presidency for Mike Pence. Uniparty's plan to steal the 2024 presidency for Mike Pence. And then over at worldviewreport.com, our aggregated news site, I have listed tonight this article right here, Trump Electoral Count Reform Act proves Pence could have thrown out 2020 election results. Ivan, I asked you to review this article. What did you come up with?
Yeah, I just needed to look at the headline, and I mean, it's the same old story.
Wait basically, a minute. Did you forget to pay your power bill there or what?
What are you talking about? No, you're late. You're supposed to be available from 8:45 to 9 o'clock, and you're at 9:06.
I know.
I'm now double booked. I had to pause the other one because I love you so much. And the reason why the lights are out is because I'm in the middle of trying to spend time with my family at the Christmas Lights Festival here in Northern Virginia.
I forgot you had another interview back. I'm so sorry. Anyway, you look like
Chris Krebs would call you the worst person in the history of humanity, right?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I forgot you were booked behind
you. I still love
you. But you know what? You look like the floating head out of one of those, what was that horror movie, Logan, where the floating head comes on the screen and talks? What? I can't remember either, but that's what it looked like for a minute. You see, when you get back there, it looks like you just got a floating head.
I'm kind just of chilling out. Over here. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There you
all
go.
Right, don't worry.
All right, I'm sorry, but thank you. Here you are, should be with your family, enjoying a Christmas light or parade or.
As soon as they come to the car, I gotta cut it off.
Oh gosh,
let's go.
We better go. All right, tell me about this article.
Okay, so this article basically is a recap of what they tried to do a couple months ago. Remember when the Senate was discussing amending the Electoral Count Act and they didn't get the votes at that time? So now they're trying to redo this and shove this through at the very last minute. They're trying to ruin our country all the way up until January 3rd when we take over in the House of Representatives. Bottom line is what they're doing is trying to provide some sort of top cover for our traitor Mike Pence to basically give him the necessary top cover to say that, oh, yeah, what we told the mainstream to say that was not allowed before, that I argued and articulated, published on Twitter, retweeted by President Trump, then used by John Eastman as the foundational principles to argue that they could do that on January 6th and then present it to Mikey Pence and then President Trump. They're saying that that could not be done, but now they need to create legislation to catch up with what the mainstream was saying. In other words, that means we were right all along, and now they have to adjust it so that it can't happen in the future.
So 1887
Electoral Count Act.
Yeah, that's a federal law, right?
Correct.
So 1887 federal law proves Mike Pence could have thrown out 2020 election results.
I wouldn't put it that simply, but bottom line is Mike Pence had the legal obligation, moral duty, and ethical guidelines to go ahead and on December 23rd, under that law, Title III of the U.S. Code, Section 12 specifically, I believe, he had the obligation to send it back to the states because what the states transmitted to him as the first federal officer in the electoral count process or electoral college process, he was obligated to send back to the states electors that were transmitted under unconstitutional premise because they did not conduct their elections in those states according to their election laws of the state, which were laws passed by the legislature. And under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of our U.S. Constitution, it clearly states that it's up to the state legislatures on how they transmit and allocate their electors. And since non-legislative actors in those states usurped the legislature, it was incumbent upon Mikey Pence to defend our federal constitution, and he failed to do so. Meanwhile, he admits later on that, and even I think in his book, somebody I had an interview with earlier today stated that, you know, Mike Pence acknowledges that the states conducted their elections outside of the election law. What does that mean, buddy boy? That means they violated our constitution and Mikey Pence failed to defend it. And the operative term, when you put Mikey Pence on one side and then on the other side, equal sign, on the other side of that equal sign, you should start thinking of the words stone cold, toxic, feckless coward, simp, traitor.
Has no one told, maybe has mother not told Pence that he doesn't have a snowball's chance and you know where to be president? Because that's what he calls his wife, mother. So has mother not told him?
Unfortunately, if you follow my Substack, it lays out, and I'm probably Mike Pence's biggest fan. Not. He has secured 275 electoral votes going into 2024, full stop with his people. Unless something changes with, if we can get Speaker Trump in, or if we can make sure that Carrie Lake wins her lawsuit in Arizona, or some black swan event happens, absent that, he has secured 275 electoral votes going into 2024. And you're thinking to me, like, how is that possible when he's polling at 0 to 1%? It's possible because he has control of the electoral college process in the states that he needs to secure the 275 electoral votes. You want the details? I can come on in details.
Well, wait a minute. Here's
later.
Here's the quick headline from your article. So you're telling me, I mean, is he going to do it through crook or hook?
There you go.
Are you trying to tell me they're going to rig the election for him? They rig the electoral college for him? What are you telling me?
I'm telling you, if you scroll down in that, you can see at the top there what happens when you're part of the J6 cover-up committee for Mikey Pence. If you keep scrolling down, you kind of scroll down some more at the end of this Substack, we go into the details of, if you take 200 right there, 232 is the baseline of what a Republican will get. Basically, any human being that's alive with an R by their name is going to get 232 electoral votes. And then what has transpired over the last 2 years since the 2020 election to be able to have me explain that he has 275 votes? Well, let's take a look. He endorsed Brian Kemp in Georgia, right? And Brad Raffensperger. Those two control the electoral system in Georgia. So then that's 16 electoral votes that are going to go towards Mikey Pence, putting him at 248. Then you move on to New Hampshire. His good friend, Little Boy Sununu, Boy Wonder Sununu, who happens to be the son of George Herbert Walker Bush's chief of staff.
John Sununu.
Pence goes he goes way back. And so that's four electoral votes on top of the 248, putting him at 252. And then you go to Virginia. By the way, the Uniparty's number two backup plan for Mikey Pence is Governor Youngkin, the globalist number two, if you will. And so Virginia's electoral votes now are in the hands of Youngkin, which he's going to have an influence over those 13 electoral votes going into 2024, which will go to Mikey Pence. 252 plus 13 is 265, last I counted. And then where else is he going to secure the remaining 10 electoral votes? It's not going to be in Arizona because the Republicans decided to go – the Uniparty Republicans decided to give that to the Democrats unless Carrie Lake pulls that off with the lawsuit. So those electoral votes stay with the Democrats. And then we go up to Pennsylvania. Those electoral votes were given to the Democrats as well by the Uniparty. And then the Maryland electoral votes stay with the Democrats since the governor is a Democrat governor that was just elected. And then same thing in where am I missing? Michigan. The Uniparty gave it to the Democrats. So the last state we're talking about, obviously Nevada went to the Democrats as well. So what's the state remaining?
Florida?
Wisconsin. Even though the governorship went to the Democrats, guess who controls the electoral institutions and the process in Wisconsin? It's not like any other state. They have what's called the Wisconsin Electoral Commission. And those members of the Wisconsin Electoral Commission are appointed by the Speaker of the House, Super Rhino Robin Voss, who is absolutely going to grant those 10 electoral votes from Wisconsin to Mikey Pence, thus giving him 275. If you want more details on that, I have that, like you said, you showed in that Substack. But that is my analysis on why and how Mike Pence already has secured 275 electoral votes going into 2024.
So was there a deal?
With
was there
his
a deal?
Own people.
Was there a deal cut? Hey, you let us get 4 years with Biden, and then we'll reward
Absolutely.
You later? There was a deal cut?
Absolutely. I think that's what happened. Absolutely. And the only way to get to the bottom of that in our current circumstances is to have a bold, aggressive, law-offensive mindset Speaker of the House that appoints a similar mindset Sergeant-at-Arms that can then investigate to get to all of it. Brandon, the Sergeant-at-Arms has massive authority in the House if you give that person the ability to unleash all of their authorities and do an entire body check against the executive branch, specifically as it applies to January 6th and any touch points as it applies to, think about it. You bring in a speaker, here's the problem. They know that there's a possibility that Trump could be Speaker of the House, and that they're trying to take away some of his power in the next 10 months. That's why they're doing this omnibus bill, because guess what? If you pass a bill right now, that means it's not until October 1st of 2023 when the new speaker and the new house that starts on January 3rd can have any say in the budget on the executive branch and the rest of the government. So that's basically what they're doing, trying to cover up themselves and continue that cover-up after cover-up after cover-up.
So of course, if there was a free and fair election, Pence isn't popular enough to win. You'd agree that with that, right?
Yeah, Pence polls at 1% maximum.
Okay, so the only way he wins is if there's a deal cut and the steal is in, and this time, so it's a uniparty again.
Right.
We'll steal it for Biden.
It's a selection. So
yeah.
I told you the electoral framework part of it. Now you have to make the frame in the court of public opinion so that people are like, have the facade of thinking, oh yeah, I guess possibly Mikey Pence pulled it off, and this is how they do it. And that's the second part of that Substack article where I talk about how in the court of public opinion, in the public perception, the way he garners the necessary support to be considered a quasi-legitimate president in 24 is to remove and make sure that three individuals do not run and are not able to run for president. Those that are massively and wildly more popular than he is.
Which would be Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis.
And?
Carrie Lake.
Yeah, I mean, you could throw her in the mix as well. I agree with that. But up until she kind of came on the scene.
General Flynn.
Exactly. So expecting that she is going to win in Arizona, obviously she's going to be there. But I would say she's a great vice presidential pick, right? But her name and stature is growing by the hour, by the minute. But you're
okay,
right.
How does he stop Trump, General Flynn, and Ron DeSantis from running?
So, well, Trump, if you now you can understand why I've been calling it the Mike Pence J6 cover-up committee. That has been his mechanism without having his hands dirty or his fingerprints on it. To try to smear President Trump. The problem with that is it is absolutely backfiring it because of critical thinkers like you and me and the rest of us that are amplifying the bogus nature of that committee. What else? They're trying to do a criminal referral. And guess what I think they're going to do? If things get a little too hot and they start to decline in their appeal, I suspect that Mike Pence's relations with, you know, his beloved Chris Wray, Mike Pence's that is, and his beloved folks at the DHS are going to set up the next trap and the next facade of criminalizing Trump. And they're going to do it through his tax return. They're just going to create something. And that is solely for the purpose of making sure that Pence becomes the president. So they're going to try to continue to remove him. And in worst case scenario, Brandon, I hate to say it this way, but you know the relationships that John Kerry has, which foreign country, where he was violating the Logan Act with? Over the last several years?
Well, I know are we talking about Middle Eastern countries?
Yes, Iran. So I would not be surprised if he goes and calls up his buddies in Iran and says, you know what? We've gotten to the point where we were not able to neutralize politically and through our illegal legal maneuvers against Donald Trump to stop his popular support from occurring. You go ahead and do what you made a video commercial about on Mar-a-Lago, you have the green light. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we played it here with Annie Cyrus, within days of it coming out, where the IRGC put that on, their Twitter and put that out, and we played it.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. The CIA did it with JFK. I hate to say this. These are the lengths that I would not be surprised if they go to. I don't want it to happen. He deserves a second term. He deserves more than a second term for what he's done, right? However, the other side is so criminal nature. We've seen what the FBI has done with our First Amendment. We've seen how all of our executive branch institutions have completely run off the rails. It is an absolute lawless criminal syndicate, and I would not be surprised if they're going to go down that path. So we have to figure out a mechanism to push back against that. That's
so
number one
gonna,
on Trump.
How are they going to go? Flynn.
DeSantis?
How are you after Flynn or DeSantis? So, both.
So number two, DeSantis, obviously wildly more popular. I would put it, you know, using the metric of how many people show up physically to an event for these individuals, obviously Trump, it's probably 10 to 100 times more popular than Flynn. And then after Flynn, I say General Flynn draws bigger crowds than DeSantis. You can just argue and disagree with me on that, but from what I've seen at the different events that both of those, you're seeing 5,000 to 10,000 people show up to a General Flynn event with the Reawaken tour. Now, how do they take out General Flynn? They continue to try to smear him. They basically slow him down with this legal process, right, of going after him with all these different lawsuits and try to smear him in the court of public opinion just to bog him down in this barrage of law, you know, of criminal law offensive activity. And then with DeSantis, all they have to do is convince him to, you know what? Hey, Ron, just wait your turn. We got your back, buddy. And then you can become
just like Pence president. Just like Pence had to wait his turn.
Yeah, or they basically bring in DeSantis as the vice president for Pence. That might be the play as well. So kind of that's how you neutralize those three. And again, I'm putting on my what I call adversary enemy hat on and looking at from their perspective, not knowing exactly all the inner discussions going on. But based on conversations I've had within that inner circle over the last 4 years and piecing it together. And I hate to say this, unfortunately. Like, I want to be wrong on a regular basis so I can be, you know, more humble than what I am. But unfortunately, I've been spot on. I mean, because I'll tell you this, I'm probably the most humble person ever in the history of humanity. If you were to ask Chris Krebs, right, with his definitive statements of how it was the most safe and secure election in the history of the humanity. You know, never before has the human race seen such a pristine election, according to Chris Krebs. Mammals ever known in the history of lifetime ever have never seen such a pristine election, according to Chrissy Krebs. What an absolute joke he is. And he still hasn't corrected that statement.
Wow. Well, you always bring such happy news, and particularly right before Christmas.
So, but you didn't ask me, how do we solve this? How do we,
how do we solve it? How do we solve it,
okay,
Ivan?
Thank you. It was a great question, Brandon. Beautiful. So how do we solve this? There's a couple ways. You know, I like to come up with the ideas and solutions. So number one, if Carrie Lake wins this lawsuit and there's a new election, at least in Maricopa County, thus getting – I mean, I'm expecting her to win. If there's a new election, she wins, Abe wins, and then Blake Masters wins. That changes the dynamic nationally, holistically. Because, and then also Mark Fincham. What happens next? They go in to do a deep dive enema colonoscopy of the machines, and then when they prove what Mike Lindell has showcased already in those machines in Arizona, then everywhere in the entire country, they're going to be distrustful of the machines, and that changes the entire electoral dynamic in 28 states. Boom. Shebang. Next up, if we get Blake Masters in, that puts us at a 50-50 in the Senate. And if Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin continue to kind of maneuver how they've been maneuvering, well, then we're going to have this dynamic like we've had over the last couple of years where we might be able to pass some sensible things with the House and the Senate, okay? That changes the whole dynamic. So, and then the last thing I'll say is Speaker Trump or someone of that ilk, and I was talking yesterday on a show. They asked me, if it's not President Trump as speaker, then who would be your number two choice? And I started thinking some more about it. I'm almost thinking that the best person for that role in this time would be Devin Nunes, because he's been the one that went back all the way to Crossfire Hurricane, the illegal spying. He knows it better than anybody else in Congress, and that's what we need to be focusing in on. I think but I think we're going to have as soon as Kevin McCarthy drops out of this race for speaker, which, by the way, Matt Gaetz is crushing him. Bob Good was just on Stu Peters yesterday and put a stake through the heart of Kevin McCarthy. If you haven't heard that, I mean, that interview was literally, I'll summarize it. Under no circumstances is Kevin McCarthy going to be the Speaker of the House. And he's going to, you know, if he wants to play the game and the dance, his first vote, he's going to get maybe 180 votes. And then after that, it's going to go down and down and down and down. And I'm going to end with this, Brandon. This is probably the most important thing I'll say tonight. There's 54 members of the House that have publicly said that they're only Kevin. They made statements. They're only supporting Kevin. They're going to vote for him, you know, however many votes it takes. So I have the cell phone numbers of almost 40 of those 54. And I've been, you know, slowly trickling to them links to my Substack, for them to have an opportunity to read the counterintelligence risk that Kevin McCarthy creates for our nation. And also I'm including, probably starting as early as tomorrow, because I have a research team on this, showcasing how, and very deliberately, like very detailed, Kev, your vote for the Ukraine money went to Ukraine. That money was invested in FTX. And then I'll tell you the date and time where the FTX, Ryan Salome, and with his girlfriend, Jennifer Bond, were the ones that were the bag men and women that then send the money over to Congressional Leadership Fund and all the surrounding PACs that CLF sent to other PACs to then fund your campaigns. If you want this to come out, and if you want me to do a counterintelligence investigation on you, then please, by all means, vote for Kevin McCarthy. If you don't want me to do a counterintelligence investigation on you, then you may want to consider voting for someone else for Speaker of the House. I think we've gotten to a point, Brandon, now that I'm doing the Substack series, to a point where their transgressions are literally being teed up for me to share for the whole world to see. And I just think that he's going to have to bow out. There's going to be so much pressure from those that are his core supporters to bow out in order to save their skin.
Wow. Look at this. Look at this headline. Absolutely. Look at this headline. Politico. Mitch McConnell said he absolutely wants Kevin McCarthy to become Speaker of the House, even after McCarthy's criticism of Senate GOP spending bill negotiations.
So, Mr. President Trump, that should be a yet another indicator on where his loyalties and who his support base it consists of, meaning Kevin McCarthy's. If Mitch McConnell is supporting you, if it was me, I'm running. I'm like, oh, no, I don't want your support. But that is an indication. This is how that needs to be translated. Kevin McCarthy begged President Trump for support. President Trump, the most he could do is say, hey, let's give Kevin McCarthy a shot, meaning he's already gotten a shot in 2015 and failed. He's gotten a shot in 2022, failed to get the 218 votes in the conference. And what does that mean? Does he need another Moderna, another Pfizer shot, another J&J shot? Who knows? I mean, there's going to be you give him so many shots, eventually there's going to be an adverse event. I recommend that, you know what, just go ahead and go into the sunset, Kevin McCarthy, because now he's begging for support, public support from Mitch McConnell. Like that is the clearest indication that he's begging for support because he knows the support for him is cracking, because the arguments that Matt Gaetz is making in Daily Caller, he just published this morning.
Here it is.
It's an absolute just beat down, full stop, very compelling argument why not to support Kevin McCarthy. Bob Good in his manner. You know, Bob Good is not a firebrand flamethrower that Matt Gaetz is, which I absolutely love his style. But Bob Good does it in such a more measured, methodical, compelling way that Kevin McCarthy's not going to get elected. And then Lauren Boebert, a couple days ago in Arizona, made the case as well. She said a red line for her is motion to vacate the chair, which Kevin McCarthy's not budging on. It's a rule. It's Nancy Pelosi's rules. Kevin wants to keep Nancy Pelosi's rules, which the Freedom Caucus doesn't want. So guess what? How many people voted against Kevin in the first round? 36. And now with all of these, like, who else can Kevin McCarthy get support from? He begged for President Trump's support, which was like, eh. President Trump's like, yeah, let's give him a shot, but not like a very resounding, oh, I totally support you. Number two, Mitch McConnell is like, yeah, I hope he becomes speaker, but it's very, very, it's not definitive. His support, and he's basically saying, if you bring up the headline, maybe he won't win. Like, I hope he wins, he says. And then who else is he trying to get support from? Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you read her rebuttal to Matt Gaetz's op-ed, her rebuttal is, and I hate to say this, because up until this point, I really like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was at the Truth Summit. I mean, she's been doing the right things all, like, literally, this is her one demerit. But it's so massive. It's not a demerit. I mean, she's putting her political career on the line here with this decision. And I hate that she's doing it. And I'm going to have to send her as well, the Substacks that I'm doing. And hopefully that'll be the impetus. I'll ask her politely to reconsider based on she may just not know all of the dirt that Kevin McCarthy brings and the weakness that he brings to America by being in that position.
Wow.
So,
IvanRaiklin.substack.com. Now, before we go to Leo Holman, Does Tucker Carlson or Jesse Waters or Tucker Carlson or Newsmax
or Newsmax?
Yeah, anybody like that give you two nights in a row with all the time that Brandon House gives you?
So I'm glad you mentioned that, Brandon. First off, I love you, brother. I mean, even though I had to wait 15 minutes, you had me late. I get it. You know, there's a little give and take here and there, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, Tucker Carlson actually had me, he flew me down to his studio, and then in his studio, he spent about an hour and 15 minutes for his Tucker Today show. And this was about a little over 3 weeks ago at this point.
Well, anything you probably said is out of date now.
It's actually not.
Really?
And I'm hoping that he airs it soon.
No, he
I
won't.
Was told it would be in a couple of weeks, but the summary of what I said, I showcased by the numbers how our current executive branch is totally captured by the CCP. And then he pushed back a little bit, and I said, well, here's the evidence. And then I cited some government sources, and I just don't know if I hope he airs it.
Well, I hope he does, too. I hope for the sake of the country and yourself. I hope he does.
So, I mean, I told him that basically the rest of the network that he works for, we consider faux news, and he's the only palatable piece of content on faux news that patriots can consume.
Have you done any intelligence work on Sean Hannity? I mean, why has he got this big old CIA pin? I mean, they were pretty well compromised by the
Sean Hannity is shilling for Kevin McCarthy. That should tell you everything. Mark Levin is shilling for Kevin McCarthy. That should tell you everything as well. Andy Biggs just totally blasted Mark Levin as being a total, I can't remember what the term was, but I'll translate it into this. He's a political number, what's the second oldest profession in the world?
Prostitution?
Yeah. So Mark Levin is essentially a political prostitute, right? Supporting whoever is going to, I don't know. These aren't my words. This is my interpretation of somebody else's words. So bottom line is, when you talk about that pin, it's like, why is he wearing it every day? I mean, it's almost as though he's the propaganda arm of, right, the CIA. And how do we stop that? The way we stop it is we have people like that have courage, like Elon Musk has with these Twitter files to showcase essentially what the FBI and the government did to illegally, take away our rights. Now we're going to body check them. And the only way that I see that body check occurring is McCarthy stepping away, and then we get a bold, courageous leader. It's got to be Trump because he endorsed 150 members of the House. And all we have to do here is convince the remaining 68 to get to 218. And that's going to be done through these Twitter files. And that's going to be done through like our discourse here and our engagement individually with these members that they need to consider off-ramping themselves. Otherwise, they're going to go down with Kevin McCarthy if they stick with him. Wow. Because there's so much tainted FTX money, Ukraine. And the more I'm looking into it, I mean, there was a $5 million drop for this girl, Jennifer Bond, who then used that money immediately, FTX money, to use to buy a $4.1 million home in Maryland, and then $890,000, which is basically the balance of the $5 million that FTX dropped to her, which her boyfriend did, to use for her campaign in New York's first congressional district. By the way, Republican. And so Ryan Solomon was the Republican bagman. I think Win Red is going to be implicated in all of this. And I hate to do this, but I go where the facts lead me, and unfortunately, a lot of it goes to Kevin McCarthy, so he's going to have to say sayonara at some point.
IvanRaiklin.substack.com. Hey, did your Substack blow up after last night when you were on my show?
It did. I want it to blow up some more. I challenge everyone to read instead of just listen to our words.
Absolutely. IvanRaiklin.substack.com. You're starting to figure out how big my audience is, are you not?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's mediocre at best, but we can get there. We'll get there.
What?
No, I'm joking. I got to give you Buster Chops. I'm saying you're mediocre, not the audience.
Oh, thank you. That's not what you said earlier. Earlier today, you were telling me how big the audience had to be because of how you got flooded.
Hey,
you're like, my phone was blowing up.
Here. My family's here. I love you, brother.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right, Merry Christmas to all your viewers, too. Love you. Keep
thank
on
you.
That Substack, brother.
Thank See you, man. Ya. Thank you. Bye-bye. He was telling me earlier, Logan, today, how his phone was blowing up with all these people subscribing to his Substack after he was on my show. And he comes on here when he give me any love or nothing. My word. All right. We like him still. We like Ivan. All right. I was going to do play an interview I pre-taped with Susan Swift, but I'll have to move it to Friday night. I got bumped last night. I got bumped tonight, but there's so much breaking news. Because I'm going to have a very special in-studio guest tomorrow at 1 o'clock and then tomorrow night for the whole 90 minutes. I've already put it down for playing Friday night, the interview I pre-taped with Susan Swift. All right, before we go to Leo Holman, take a look at the screen here, folks. If you appreciate all we're doing, we need your support. This is how you can do it. MyPillow.com, sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, scarves, sleepwear, so much. MyPillow.com, please use the promo code B66. If you don't use that code, I don't get credit, all right? This show doesn't get credit. Worldview Report doesn't get credit. If you want us to get support and funding to keep all of this going, I need your support. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. That same code works over at MyStore.com, MyStore.com, all right? This is the home for American entrepreneurs, mystore.com. Check it out. All kinds of American entrepreneurs have their products here. Show more products. It just keeps going and going and going. Mystore.com. Please use the promo code B66. You get savings. We get credit. All right? And then don't forget about going to WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. Emergency freeze-dried food. We ship out every day. It just doesn't stop. The orders just keep coming in. And we're not complaining because this is a big part of our general operating budget. But what I am telling you is that you better get it in. You better get your order in. Don't wait until they plan something or your power goes down or someone sabotages the grid or we have a solar flares, which they're talking about, by the way, these increasing. So they can happen just from the nature. And we're past due for one just based on the how often they happen. So breakfast, we sold out of those. We ordered more of those. Those are coming in. Ready Hour meat, we sold out of those. Those more are coming in. Veggie and snacks, sold out of those. Those are coming in. The Ready Hour gluten-free, sold out of those. More is coming in. We just got the order in, so it'll be here soon. We have plenty to go ahead and fill your order on 3 month, 1 year, 4 weeks, 6 month. And again, if you get the other orders in, they're coming in. We made another order right away today. So again, people are waking up. They realize what's happening. You'd think the orders would slow down at Christmas time. But tell you what, folks are aware of what's happening. Now, if you don't want to go and order it online at WVWTVstore.com, you can use the number on the phone line on the screen there, 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Now, don't show my screen, but I just want to check a price here. All right, gold today is at $1,820. $1,820 for gold today. Silver is at $24.08. People are predicting gold will go to $3,000 in 2023. I don't know. I don't give financial advice. I give financial opinion. But if I were you, I certainly wouldn't be sitting around wanting to have them flip over to a digital currency and reset the dollar and be stuck with all their junk. So if you want to diversify into what is described in the Bible as real money, real store value, storehouse for wealth is land, houses, cattle, and silver and gold. Cattle, I'm not sure I want to own that today. The meat packing plant seem to make quite a bit. It's really tough on the farmers and ranchers to raise cattle and make a living today. So I guess I'm not going to go out and acquire a lot of cattle. So it leaves us with the other things the Bible says is a storehouse for wealth. Gold, silver, houses, and land. And, well, there are gold and silver is what we're focusing on. If you'd like to get the free packet of information on precious metals from Wes Peters, you don't even have to call him. You just text him. You want to throw that up there, Logan? What is it, 602-558-8585? You don't have to call him. Just text him. Say, hey, here's my name and my address. I'd like the free packet of information, no obligation, free packet of information on precious metals. He'll send it out. Learn the difference between bullion, you know, like freshly minted or gold that's just silver or gold coins are a few years old. Bullion versus numismatic 1933 and older, which by law provides privacy. Learn about the difference. Learn about how to put gold in your IRA. Wes, we'll send you, he's a retired Marine. Been working with him for 16 years. He'll send you all the packet of information you need. 602-558-8585. 602-558-8585. All right. Let me show you one other thing. Look at this. Isn't that beautiful? That one is, this one here is custom made by my friend Annie. Custom made Voss by Annie Cyrus. Usually when we show these, they sell out right away. There's a custom made Voss by Annie. You can go to her website, LUTUF, stands for Live Up to Freedom. L Live Up to Freedom. I'm going to write it down. LUTFstudio.com. LUTFstudio.com. Now, when you go there, use the promo code WVW66. WVW66, and she'll give us credit. She'll make a donation back to our foundation. So you can help out Annie, get some great one of a kind handmade art from Annie, and support our foundation when you go to her website, LUTFstudio.com, and use the promo code WVW66. Joining me now is Leo Holman. Hello, Leo.
Hello, Brannon.
How are you doing, my friend?
I was highly entertained listening to your previous interview.
I know. He's a stitch, isn't he?
Love the way he ribs you.
Yeah, I'm a good sport. You know, if you
really are, yeah.
If you can't take it, don't give it. You know what I'm saying? And I give it, so I got to be able to take it. So yeah, I try to be a good sport. Speaking of good sports, you're a good sport. Here you are at 9:45 your time, still hanging in here with us. Merry Christmas to you and your lovely family.
Yes, yeah, same to you and yours, Brannon.
Noted. Here's an article by Leo Holman, leoholman.com, leoholman.com. Noted transhumanist now targeting our children. What's inside Yuval Noah Harari's new book for kids? Oh, please tell me, Leo, what's in there?
Yeah, this new book is the first of a four-part series targeting our children. The title is Unstoppable Us, and there's all kinds of lies and propaganda, but very cleverly told by the noted globalist and transhumanist Noah Yuval Harari, Brannon. He basically says in this book, he's a very clever storyteller, especially when you think about the young minds who'll be reading. This book is targeting 10 to 14-year-olds. So basically middle schoolers to maybe the first year of high school. It's going to be heavily marketed. So the chances that your child or your grandchild will have this book in their hands over the next year or two are very, very high, very probable. And so that's why I felt it was important to put this article out to sort of warn parents about what is Harari going to be telling their children. And basically, he says that the sapiens, who are the most highly developed animals, took control of the world because of two things. They were able to invent and control fire, and they were able to tell stories. And because of this, because of they were able to tell stories, they were able to convince their people to believe in myths such as the existence of God. And therefore, they were able to get their people to cooperate with one another. And they were able to, between their control of fire and their ability to tell stories and these myths about the existence of God to get people to cooperate, they were able to destroy the Neanderthals and all of the other prehistoric human beings on the earth at that time. This is what Harari's telling the children. And so we, as descendants of the sapiens, have this sort of blood guilt on our hands because we killed the mammoths and a bunch of other animals, made them extinct. We killed off the Neanderthals, and all because of our ability to tell stories and control fire. And so he's saying basically that you can rectify this, young 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, you can rectify this by becoming a liberal climate change activist. Yes, Brannon, that's what he's teaching the kids in this new book.
How lovely. I know you have a video embedded. Is there anything new in there that he's saying? I mean, I have it queued up right here. Let me see.
You think, sure.
Here, what is he saying? Show us the screen, Logan. Okay, I just queued it up where he came on the screen. Should I play it from here? Should I play it? Play it, Leo?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what he says.
Know nothing. The chief characteristic of this God is that he is mysterious, and humans can't understand and can't say anything about this God. And this is a mysterious God. The chief characteristic of the mysterious God is that we know nothing about him or her or it, and I'm perfectly happy with this God.
He suggests that he is not opposed to an impersonal force that created the universe. That surprised me at first, considering that he's an evolutionist. If you think about it, that's actually incredible. Listen to what he has to say on this idea, and then we'll discuss why this thought has end time implications.
And like people ask, I mean, who started the Big Bang? Or how did life start? And all the things that science doesn't know, people say, oh, this is God. And this is a mysterious God. The chief characteristic of the mysterious God is that we know nothing about him or her or it, and I'm perfectly happy with this God.
Notice.
Okay, so I guess we got the same quote twice in there. I don't understand why we got the same quote twice.
But I don't either. He also goes on in this book to propagandize in favor of same-sex marriages. He says that, you know, some of these Neanderthals living in caves would have had two women living together. But it's complete and total lies. I don't know what else we can say about it, Brandon, other than parents should really be on the lookout for this book, Unstoppable Us, by Yuval Noah Harari, one of the most dangerous men on the planet today.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and for people who aren't familiar with who he is the chief advisor, one of the top advisors to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, and has written many books. He's a sought-after speaker on college campuses around the country. He considers human beings to be, quote, hackable animals, devoid of a free will. We have no free will and no soul as human beings, and that we're just on the earth today to be mass monitored and mass surveilled by the elites, and then they can use our data to their own advantage. This is what he talks about.
Wow. Well, it's very big government, big business, corporate fascism, at least, you know, the public-private partnership. It's really, you know, I've been doing a series on radio that people will find at worldviewradio.com or WVWTV.com. And that is that really what we're seeing is a repeat and a rise of the Fourth Reich. This is the Third Reich, and now we've got the Fourth Reich coming. And, you know, I've been showing people that our CIA was compromised by the Nazis from their very first director, Dulles, who went and met with one of Himmler, the head of SS guys. They bring him to America. They bring other guys in. One guy I highlighted in my radio show today was involved in signing off on the death of some 60,000 people during the Holocaust, and yet our CIA brought him here to America and covered for him for years and years and years. I mean, our Central Intelligence Agency, I mean, while there were some good people there and some white hats there, overall, the CIA has been a disgusting organization. And, you know, this is exactly what President Kennedy figured out when they betrayed him, Dulles, on the Bay of Pigs. Of course, Dulles ended up being fired by Kennedy. And then, of course, Dulles was there when they were doing the whole MK Ultra brainwashing test. That was under Dulles. And then after the Bay of Pigs fiasco, where they didn't back up the folks on the ground, like I guess they'd promised Kennedy they would do, President Kennedy fires Dulles, and he goes on, of course, just after they kill Kennedy, to sit on the Warren Commission. I mean, pretty interesting. But here we have today, you know, between the Nazis, the Nazi ideology, and the communist ideology inside the CIA, John Brennan, you know, voted for Gus Hall, communist Gus Hall. I mean, our intelligence agencies have been corrupted far beyond what average Americans understand. Pretty much after World War II, our intel agency started being corrupted by this globalist deep state group of players. And I think other than Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan, they've pretty much have controlled who got in and got where. I mean, I've had key people tell me the CIA is in every state capital in this nation.
Oh, 100%. There's this interesting book that came out in 2008, The Rise of the Fourth Reich.
I've got it.
By the late by the late Jim Mars. Have you ever read that book?
Yeah, I own it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fascinating details in this book how both the Dulles brothers, Alan Dulles, who you mentioned, was the head of the CIA and actually was involved with the forerunner to the agency that was the forerunner to the CIA. And he worked with the Vatican, and there was such a thing called the Vatican rat lines.
That's right.
Where the Vatican was creating false passports and false identification for these high-up Nazi criminals and getting them out of Germany. Many of them went to Argentina.
That's
many
right.
of them went to Brazil.
That's right.
Paraguay, Uruguay, and the United States.
That's right.
And Spain. And, yeah, and these rat lines, they funneled thousands of these Nazi criminals into the West, into South America and North America. And one of them was Martin Bormann, one of the most notorious Nazi criminals. He lived in South America for up until he died in the, I think it was the late 70s. And he ran an international criminal enterprise, gun running, drug running, and everything from Paraguay, Uruguay, and that entire area. He had contacts throughout Europe and died a very rich man. And so then you have Project Paperclip, which that led to over 1,000 Nazi scientists, engineers, and highly educated technocrats coming to the United States alone.
And by the way, to those who think that a lot of those people were just, you know, kind of indifferent, the guy, and I think he's kind of a progressive in some ways, I think he's a Jewish gentleman, he wrote a book that came out in 2014 called The Nazi Next Door. He goes into some of these guys that were at NASA and other places. They weren't just like, you know, nominal, you know, forced into working for the Reich. These were bad. Some of these were really, really bad dudes. And our CIA knew exactly who they were, covered for them, shielded them, protected them. And many of them lived in America for 30 plus years until, of course, in 1980s, the Department of Justice, which is kind of shocking, started really going after some of them. You know who also has unveiled a lot of this is Nazi Nexus. I don't know if you've read this book or not. I've had it in my library.
I haven't seen that one.
I've had this one in my library a long time. It's not a very thick book. It's Nazi Nexus, America's Corporate Connections to Hitler's Holocaust. America's Corporate Connections to Hitler's Holocaust by Edwin Black. And, of course, people know Edwin Black wrote the book IBM and the Holocaust. But he goes into – let me just read the contents.
One quick thing before you read me that, Brandon. It's important that people understand that we actually recruited many of these Nazis.
Yes.
The Dulles brothers were involved in it as well as other Americans. And you had the Americans on one side and the Soviets on the other actually competing to gain the immigration, to see who could import the most Nazi scientists.
That's right.
Because the Nazi scientists were on the precipice, or at least we believe they were, of discovering a lot of new super weapons. Okay. And that's why there was this great competition between the Soviets and the communists and the Americans on the other hand to see who could bring in the most of these Nazi scientists and engineers, because we thought that they had these brilliant super weapons that, you know, would turn the tide of the Cold War.
And you could see where their pragmatism or whatever could cause them. I mean, I'm not justifying it, but you could see where their pragmatism, you know, would say, okay, well, we need to go get these great scientists, this brain trust, you know, bring them to our side
right.
before the Soviets get them. But as you read The Nazi Next Door, you find out that our intelligence agency was grabbing up so many that had nothing. They had nothing to offer us. And then they tried
right.
to put them working for us and spying for us, and they weren't doing anything. Some of them were complete failures. They were not even good spies working for us. And it's like, well, why are you protecting these high-ranking Nazis that were involved in killing some of them, tens of thousands of people? They really had nothing to offer, like maybe you would justify grabbing some guy into your rocket program. which tells me this was more about protecting people who had a Nazi ideology that they agreed with more than trying to grab brain trust. But, you know, I'm going to get into it more in the new year with that book by this man, The Nazi Next Door. But this book here by Edwin Black, Nazi Nexus, America's Corporate Connections to Hitler's Holocaust, he goes into Ford, Henry Ford, Jew Hatred and Political Racism, Carnegie Foundation, Eugenics and the Master Race, Rockefeller, Dr. Mengele and Eugenics, GM and the Motorization of the Reich, IBM organizes the Holocaust. I mean, when you realize our American corporations, you know, that were involved in this trash, no wonder so many of them now are for what is really, I believe, the manifestation of the values and worldview of the Third Reich, which is now becoming the Fourth Reich, which is why I wrote a book in 2015, 500 pages, called The Coming Religious Reich. And that Fourth Reich is largely built on the UN's sustainable development. I mean, it's again, I don't know if you've had the chance to read Mark Musser's book, Nazi Ecology, but, I mean, people don't realize how much of the Third Reich is now being recycled. And on radio today, I was talking about the occultism of Himmler. Himmler, head of the SS, was huge into Hinduism, huge, and reincarnation. And this is how he convinced people to do the horrific things he did that were in the SS. You're helping these Jews go on to a better place and start the process again through reincarnation. And when you study so many of them, they were involved in occultism. And yet look at the explosion of occultism. So I was saying to the radio audience today, it's not so much, here's what I said. Don't confuse the Third Reich with the occultism in that don't separate. Don't separate the Third Reich from the occultism. Understand that the occultism is largely what made it the Third Reich, okay? The occultism is largely what made it the Third Reich. When people think of the Third Reich, they think of anti-Semitism, rightfully so. It's demonic. But they don't realize the Hinduism, the occultism, the black magic, the swastika was stolen. You know, that's an ancient symbol that was used by people, Hindus. It's used by Native Americans. I've got pictures, black and white photographs of Native American basketball teams with looked like swastikas right on their chest. It's not. It's an old occultic symbol. John Ruskin mentored Cecil Rhodes at Oxford. Cecil Rhodes, who gave us the Rhodes Scholarship, calling for world government out of Europe. John Ruskin mentored him. Okay, this is before the Nazi symbol became known. And if you go to the tomb, the grave of John Ruskin, he has what looks like a swastika on his tomb. It's an occult symbol. So what I'm saying is the explosion of the Wicca religion, the explosion of witchcraft, the explosion of Eastern mysticism in America and around the world is the reincarnation of the Fourth Reich, because that's what the Third Reich was largely based on. Eugenics, population control, reincarnation, etc. You want to comment?
Absolutely. We see that same old paganism now springing up at the same time that we see this Fourth Reich of technocracy and technocratic enslavement through the digital IDs, the vaccine passports, and the coming digital money. On the sort of background of that, at the same time, we're witnessing a renaissance of paganism through the Catholic Pope. He's embracing it with the Pachamama ceremony in 2018, and through the whole earth worship of climate change. It's all coming to pass and resurrecting. They say nothing new under the sun, Brandon.
And you mentioned the rat lines with the Vatican. Now we know that the Jesuits was a model for the CIA. The Jesuits was a model for the CIA and their ability to collect data and information, largely through the confession booth. But who did Todd Benson just tell us last week is all along the way pushing these people from Latin America for their little way stations along the way? The Jesuits. The Jesuits, he said, are all up and down those lines where they have these little way stations and stops for people from deep within Latin America to come up to the border. It's the Jesuits. It's the UN. Don't forget the Pope took his tiara and left it at the United Nations. And what do the Jesuits want? Look at the logo at Georgetown University written in Latin. the eagle with a world in one talent and the cross in the other, of the 2-1 world domination. And that's exactly what former Jesuit Malachi Martin warned us about. And he left the Jesuit order and started spilling his guts. And he died, I think, 1999. And the things that he wrote about have now come to pass since he's died. And you're reading his books going, holy cow. But he knew what the Jesuits, he warned that the Masons, this occultism, the Jesuits would merge with this ecumenicalism and bring us the new order. Just as occultist Alice Bailey, who was so loved at the UN and gave us the prayer room at the UN. It's all merging together. The difference is most people don't see these puzzle pieces and how they fit together. Closing comment before we go.
Yes, she was also the founder of the Lucius Trust.
Formerly known as Lucifer Trust.
Which was originally called Lucifer Trust, right. And that was the United Nations Book Publishing Division. Yes, it all comes together full circle, Brandon.
LeoHoman.com, LeoHoman.com. Merry Christmas, Leo.
Same to you, Brandon. Merry Christmas.
LeoHoman.com. Folks, you appreciate what we're doing. Don't forget about our foundation, WVWFoundation.com. WVW Foundation, committed to proclaiming the truth of a biblical worldview, helping people understand the times through the lens of that biblical worldview. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW TV broadcasts.